March 6th, 2006, it's the Lullabot Podcast. That's it. That's the intro. That's how it goes. We just, I say the date, and then there's a little bit of music, and then we start talking as the music fades out, and that's how it goes.
Okay.
A moment of silence, and then a moment of rock.
Yes. Yes. A little like people get their bearings, and then we just hit them with the music. Just hit them with that big-ass bass like that. That's how it goes. I'm Jeff Robbins, and on the line with me, I've got...
Matt Westgate.
And also...
Ted Serbinski.
Ted... Serbinski is the new Lullabot hire. We're very excited to have him with us. Ted, welcome.
Thank you. I just want to say it's a pleasure working with Matt and Jeff. You guys have been working on some great stuff, and look forward to seeing how I can help out and seeing where we can take Lullabot.
Right on. Yeah.
Yeah. We're excited to have you.
Yeah. And you're here on the podcast. That's probably the most exciting thing.
Oh, definitely. This is my first podcast ever. I don't know how I sound. We'll find out later, but
yes, well,
hopefully not too bad.
It's a lot like that experience of listening to back to your voice on your home answering machine and thinking, that's what I sound like?
Yeah.
And just when you get used to that, they bring video into the equation and you're really screwed. So
we tried the little video for one of our podcasts. That didn't go so well.
Well,
those the random snapshot pictures.
Yeah.
I don't want me picking my nose out there.
I tried to not pick my nose for the entirety of the podcast, and
you're more successful.
It was
than
only
I.
mediumly successful. So anyways, Ted, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where do you live?
I live actually in Washington, D.C. I've been here just about 2 years. I've been involved with the Drupal project for almost 7 months now, just kind of dove right into core, and been loving it ever since.
Yeah, and you've added a lot of stuff in a really short time, core patches, and done a whole lot of work with the Tiny MCE stuff. That was kind of how we found you, right?
It was just kind of using it at my previous employer. We needed... the rollout stuff. I didn't want to go with 4.6. Went with 4.7. I was like, instead of rolling our own custom patches, why don't we just get it in the core? I was like, all right. So we just started fixing it, getting it into core. After a couple of rejected patches, I kind of like figured out what we have to do to get patches in. And
figure out the system.
Exactly.
Who you have to pay off.
Right.
Yeah.
The Drupal Mafia. The great Belgian Drupal Mafia.
But that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, wonderful to have you involved with everything, and more resources for the consulting stuff that we're doing with Lullabot. So, and along the lines of 4.7 news, what's going on with 4.7? Anybody? Ted?
So 4.7 beta 5 was just released a couple days ago. Hopefully, this is the final beta. There's a couple more critical bugs, about a dozen or so. If any of you guys are listening out there, definitely hop on. We can definitely use your help fixing these critical bugs. Hopefully we're going to have a release candidate soon. I don't want to say when because I don't want to be held to that, but very soon. And things are very stable. You can definitely run 4.7 beta 5 without any problems.
Cool. Yeah. On the last podcast, we said there were 8. So I guess that there's some new bugs that people found. So also, we don't want to discourage people from posting bug reports as you find them. Let's make it a solid.
Better have it
released and solid than not released at all. So it'll be ready when it's ready, and it will be solid when it's ready. So
yes, and hopefully that'll be soon.
Great. Well, I did an interview with Moshe Weitzman a couple days ago. We talked about all kinds of stuff. From the sounds of the interview, I think Moshe was vacationing on the moon with some sort of Bluetooth headset from the moon landing. So, but it's all legible. I'll clean it up a little bit. But we're going to just run that for the remainder of the podcast and thanks everybody for listening. And again, if you have questions, comments, suggestions, or just want to hear your voice on our podcast, call 1-877-Lullabot or send us an email to podcast@lullabot.com. And we'll look forward to hearing from you. Thanks everybody for listening. And here's Moshe Weitzman. Moshe Weitzman, how are you?
Doing great, Jeff. Thanks. It's nice to be here. Nice to be on my first podcast.
We have a little bit of a crackly connection, but we'll make the best of it. We'll edit it all out so you're clean and clear, or at least as clean and clear as we can make it.
All right. Well, work your magic. for folks who don't know, Jeff was a pretty significant musician, pop musician in his day. So he knows a thing or two around a recording studio.
Yeah.
So
I have lots of microphones. I don't know what that means, but it's true. I have lots of microphones.
Cool. Well, so, you gave me a CD once of yours that was very cool, excellent bass lines. So check it out, everyone.
Right on. Thanks, Moshe. Let's talk about you. I did a little bit of research today. You are user number 23 on Drupal.org. That's impressive.
Thank you. So it's true. I did a little research once, not that long ago, when someone asked me a similar question. And my first commit to the Drupal project was November 2001. And it's already 2006, so it has been a while. There was no Drupal.org when I started this project. There was only Drop.org. And so technically, if you want to see who's been around the longest, you need to look at user IDs on Drop.org. But that site is defunct now, and no one's working on bringing it back.
Yeah, I went to Drop.org the other day. There's nothing there.
Yeah, it's down. So one day, Dries finally agreed that we needed to call it Drupal.org instead of Drop. And so he started the same site on Drupal.org, and everyone had to get new user IDs. So I seem to be the 23rd person who read that email and signed up.
Ah, I see. Well, still, you, according to Drupal.org, you've been a member for 4 years and 48 weeks, so you're one of the originals.
Yep. Well, thanks.
What have you been doing all that time?
I've been in like continuous interest with the Drupal project since then, for sure. I really have been addicted to contributing code to the project since the very beginning. Sometimes people ask how I got into the project. I was working for a company called Prospero in Delphi, and they do online message boards and chat rooms and other community products like that. And while working for them and being a product manager for them, I got interested in open source and tried to figure out who was doing what with message boards and forums and open source. And of the various projects that were out there, Drupal was the one that I actually succeeded to install.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
Yes, I think so. And, you know, it's pretty amazing because I had never touched a Linux machine before, and I was able to get it up on my Windows machine somehow and got it running. And then I remember opening up the source code of index.php and thought it was a marvel that I could really look at all the source code that was running this application that was on my PC, and sort of marveled at that for a week or two, and quietly read the development mailing list, and then decided that I didn't like one particular way that something was implemented, so I changed it on my machine and cheered when it finally worked. and then got bold enough to try to figure out CVF, make a patch, and that took me a couple times to get right, but I submitted a patch, and then another big cheer when Dries committed it. So ever since that first contribution, I really felt empowered that I could do what I wanted and express myself this way, and the fact that many people started using my code and getting excited about it just fueled the fire. So it's still a raging fire at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you've done a lot with Drupal. I mean, just to look at all the stuff, I don't know if it still looks this way to other people, but when I first came to Drupal.org, it seemed like everywhere that I turned, there was the name of Moshe Weitzman, you know, had done this thing and that thing, and all the cool, good modules that I wanted to use for my site were made by Moshe. And it's great that you're still involved and doing so much. So you've been doing a lot of work for Bright recently, have you?
I have. I am a contractor for Bright. Bright is a consulting group that's based in Vancouver, although their employees are spread out over the world. And so I'm doing some part-time work for them. And we're talking about me working full-time for them, but we haven't fully decided on that. So for now, I'm working for Bright and working with a few of their clients who are launching big sites. Bright has this hosting, Drupal hosting platform. I'm not particularly involved in that part of the business. They also have some very large clients who they do consulting for. And so I've been part of the consulting engagement with these big clients.
Cool. So are you still working at Prospero, or have you left there? Or?
Well, yeah, I'm like working a little bit for a lot of people at this point. I'm leaving my full-time day job with a company called Vistaprint. I was there for 3.5 years, and I'm leaving at the end of March. And I'm also leaving this part-time job that I'm doing with Prospero, also at the end of March. So I will be full-time Drupal for the first time about April 1st. So sometimes people are surprised that I'm not already full-time Drupal, but let's see how much I can get done when I really am full-time Drupal.
Let them loose.
Right.
So obviously Drupal has come a long way in the time that you've been working with it. I mean, where do you see it now, and like how has it changed, and where do you see it going?
Sure. I guess the most obvious way that it's changed, the most interesting way, is the members of the community. It really has started growing in a hockey stick fashion. The number of users, the number of sites, the number of administrators, the number of developers have all gone through the roof in the last year, even 2 years really was when it started growing faster. We have a lot of reasons that might have contributed to that. I'd say certainly the Civic Space project was a huge visibility boost for Drupal. The fact that the Dean campaign was run in part with Drupal technology. This is the Howard Dean presidential campaign. Was a big boost, and coming out of that project was this group called Civic Space, which has promoted Drupal all over the world, especially to grassroots organizations, nonprofits, political campaigns, and really elevated the visibility. So we have a lot to be thankful for as far as Civic Space and Kieran and Neil and Zach and the people who have worked hard on Civic Space. And I think that success that Civic Space has shown has a lot to do with the next part of your question, which is where we're going in the future. Civic Space is a distributor of Drupal. What they do is they pick out the modules which are best suited to deliver a particular site, which is a grassroots activism political campaign kind of site. So the Civic Space engineers built a few modules that are good for those kinds of sites. They also selected the best of existing modules, and they made an install file and documentation and a whole website and community around this one application of Drupal. So I think that distributors of Drupal is a hugely important part of our future. And I know that several other of the main developers agree with that. So one of my interests in the upcoming 6 months, let's say, is to make it even easier for more distributions of Drupal to show up. In addition to Civic Space, we have some like fledgling distributions. Drupal Ed is one of them, which is Drupal for educators and classrooms. There's another one, Drupal Art, I believe, which is for artists and musicians. And so I'd like to get more of these distributions out there that have very targeted audiences, because I think that there's a real tension in the Drupal project between making a perfectly flexible product that doesn't actually suit anyone except for engineers, versus the out-of-the-box, yeah, this is just what I needed type problem. This is just what I needed solution. So I think distributions allow the engineers to continue having a very clean, generic core, but it's the distributors who take the core and make it into a solution for a particular audience.
Right, and it also makes it easier for the people of those audience to get it installed and configured, because it can kind of come out of the box installed and configured.
Right, right. So your initial experience is much stronger, and hopefully your ongoing experience is much stronger. So
because there's a lot of time spent in just configuring a site. I mean, even if you have all the modules that you need, there's a fair amount of time to just sort of set things up in the right way and sort of figure out strategizing your Drupal site. So to have these distributions to start with could be really great.
Yeah, I totally agree. So Neil Drum is going to be working on that a lot, and I will certainly be looking closely for patches from him, and I encourage other developers who are listening to this to join the install project and specifically install profiles and think of ways we can make that easier for these distributors. You know, Civic Space has forged a road in this. They really did it without much support from Drupal Core. They have had their own source control and really have figured out how to do distributions, and we should try to make it easier for the next people.
So what do you mean by install profiles? I mean, is this an installer that'll install the database files for you when you install Drupal, or like, are there different profiles? Like, I know I've installed Civic Space, and it's a really different experience than installing Drupal, because it kind of guides you through and stuff like that. But define install profiles and the different things that means.
Yeah, good question. I think that what I mean by an install profile is it is core Drupal, as you would experience it if you download it today, plus a bunch of other modules, plus configuration of those modules, plus help files that are tailored towards the solution that you are developing, and perhaps some other kinds of, you know, maybe there's some data that you need in there also. So it's core Drupal plus a few other things, and the few other things are what I mean by the profile.
So the profiles is sort of the whole configuration. It's the glue it's Drupal plus these contributed modules, and then the sort of profile is like how it's all configured together, right?
Yes, that's right.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Yeah, because I mean, I know that that when Matt Westgate was managing the e-commerce package, we were talking about like an e-commerce distribution, and then, yeah, all these like different things, like it'd be really neat to see, yeah, like an arts distribution or one that was oriented towards like for bands to be able to sell their music on their website using PayPal and the e-commerce package and stuff like that. That's really great. I might use that when I get back into music. I got this solo album I'm still working on. So, 4/7 coming out inevitably. It's going to happen. What are the things about 4/7 that are sort of most interesting to you? In preparing for this, we were talking about the different modules that you'd made, and you made a module called Trip Search, which then became called SQL Search, and now you said you're sort of abandoning that in favor of the search stuff in 4/7. How are those similar, and how are those different, and what are the other things in 4/7 that are exciting to you?
The Trip Search module is fairly old. And it was originally built by a guy named Chris John, and he did it because he was disappointed with the results he was getting out of the core search engine that comes with Drupal, the search module. And that module is different than the old Drupal search module because it searches the database directly with one SQL statement that has a like clause and presents results in reverse chronological order from that query. So whereas the Drupal query tried to do relevance matching. But the Drupal search module was not very good. Up until 4.6, it's decent. It looks like the 4.7 one is better than decent, but still kind of sucky, if that makes sense.
Well, you know, we're all competing with Google, so what can you do?
Really, they set the expectation of sub-millisecond response time and exactly the results I want, which I'm happy they made the system they did because I use it about 80 times a day, but we're not going to be able to duplicate that on the Drupal project.
Right.
So Trip Search... a lot of the ideas that made it special, like being able to filter by taxonomy term and being able to filter by date, range, and so forth, have now been brought into the core search module for 4.7. So Stephen Wittens wrote that, and it's going to be part of 4.7. So there really is no need to run Trip Search anymore. So people who have 4.6 sites and before that are welcome to keep using it, but there's no planned development for Trip Search.
What are the other things in 4.7 that seem cool to you? Are there other things in 4.7 that seem cool to you?
There certainly are. Let's try to remember them. We've been working on 4.7 for so long.
Yeah, there's so many things in it. The free tagging, I mean, there's been changes to taxonomy. There have been basically changes to everything.
I think so.
How are you handling the new form API stuff? Have you?
So I have a fair number of modules which I still haven't updated, and I'm just kind of hoping that other people update them, but it's not going as quickly as I'd hoped. I'm getting comfortable with the form API. It was a big change. I looked at the code. I knew it was a good idea, but it's still a little bit disorienting to go ahead and try to convert modules. So I sympathize with all the people who are going to be doing that in the upcoming months when we release 4.7. Having said that, the documentation that Webchick and Kieran worked on is outstanding, and Jeff, your form updater module is very useful, and we've done everything we can to help people with that conversion. So I think really at this point, the only thing to do is to jump in and convert the modules. And so that's what I'm going to be doing over the next few weeks. I certainly intend when 4.7 is released for all of my modules, and there's quite a few of them, to be updated to 4.7.
Yeah, I wish I could say the same thing. I have a fair amount of updating to do. I may look for some people to adopt some of my modules. I'm not doing a very good job.
Yeah, well, I guess I was thinking that but didn't say it, that some of my red-haired stepchildren will probably be left behind and abandoned, and so they won't be mine anymore, therefore they won't be updated kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you know about 4.8? I mean, I keep hearing sort of little whispers about, do you know sort of what plans are for 4.8?
So usually the way these releases go is that once we have a 4.7 release candidate, the 4.8 branch will be again open for features. So I would expect that to happen sometime in the next 3 or 4 weeks. And there are a lot of great ideas that are just itching for that to happen. The most interesting one I mentioned already is the install profiles. Certainly there's been a lot of talk recently around i18n, which is a very techy name for multilingual Drupal. So Drupal right now has the capability for all of the user interface elements to be translated into whatever language you want and shown in the user's native language, but the content itself is only in one language by default, and you have to run a module called i18n if you want to have content in multiple languages. And that works reasonably well, but apparently some people aren't totally pleased with it because there's been lots of plans for re-architecting how that works, and Dries has already said that he wants that in core. So I think that's going to get a lot of attention in the next round of development, which will make lots of non-English speakers happy. So that's a great thing. Other things that I'm sure that people will be working on during the 4.8 development cycle, Drupal has distributed authentication right now, which means that you can use other websites to authenticate users, to learn who they are when they log in. And that is going to get a little bit better in 4.8. The patch is already submitted to do this, where basically, you can more directly access an external database in order to authenticate your user. So you can go to your gallery installation and authenticate that way, or you can go to some other application that you're putting alongside Drupal and just use its users and passwords instead of Drupal's.
That's interesting. Yeah, cool stuff. Yeah, it seems like that there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, that basically 4.7 has been in a code freeze now, meaning no new features since, what, September? Something like that.
Since September, so, it's quite a while.
So basically all of the new feature development and or things that would, I know that... there's a patch right now to improve the link system, which is really aching to be fixed. And Dries was basically saying, you know, this will break all of the core modules that use hook link. And so we'll wait for 4.8 for it. So there's a lot of stuff that's like, there's already patches out there. It's basically just a matter of putting them together.
Seems like
a 4.8 release could be a relatively short period after 4.7. But please, nobody, don't quote me. Oi.
There is some talk from Dries that we're going to go to time-based releases. And what he means by that is that we will do a freeze on X date. And instead of doing a freeze when sort of enough people feel like it's the right time, we will ahead of time name a date. And the idea that was floated around was we will have two of these dates a year. So So we'll do two freezes and two releases a year. And people can more or less count on that kind of schedule. So there are some benefits to that schedule. So I have a feeling that's the way we're going to go for the next release, but it's still just an idea at this point.
Cool. That'd be neat. Also just nice for people to have a deadline. Things will happen that much faster. So Moshe, let's talk about organic groups. You have become the group man. When people want to do groups in Drupal, they come to Moshe. Let's talk about organic groups and what they are and how you sort of stumbled into this position. And
sure, Jeff. So organic groups is a module that I wrote quite a while ago, maybe 18 months ago. And if people are familiar with Yahoo groups, you could think of organic groups being the same kind of thing. They are little sub-sites within your larger Drupal site, and each group has a subscriber list. So people are welcome to subscribe to these various different groups. Each group has a homepage where the members can publish their content into. Each group has access control. So if you want to have a private group where only the group members can see the content, you can set it up that way. There are RSS feeds for a group. There's email notifications for a group. It's really become quite a sophisticated groups solution that a lot of people are getting excited about, like you're saying. I am excited to use organic groups on the Drupal.org website. We are planning to launch a groups.drupal.org website, and what we're going to be doing there is to enable local user groups all over the world to meet and talk about Drupal. So when I say user groups, these are offline activities, meetups, if you will, if people are familiar with the website meetup. Groups.drupal.org really intends to be a meetup for Drupal or in Drupal enthusiasts. And so I would expect the Vancouver Drupal Users Group to establish a group on groups.drupal.org and highlight their monthly event there. Same for all of the other groups that are springing up. There's a Washington, D.C. group that has had meetings. New York is planning a meeting for May, New York City. San Francisco has met already. So I know that these groups are starting to form, and Drupal.org wants to provide a forum for all of them to get together and meet each other. So I'm excited to launch that site.
We're going
to
organize a Boston one, right?
Yes. So Jeff and I are going to co-host the Boston region, Boston, Massachusetts region group. So I encourage everyone to sign up for our group once the site goes live.
So using organic groups, what you're saying is that people can sign up for these groups and then subscribe to an RSS feed that's specific to that group.
Yeah, exactly. There's RSS and there's email notification. So and there's organic groups module has spawned off lots of sub modules, contributed modules, and one of them is a email list module. So in fact, each group gets its own email list, just like Yahoo groups.
Wow!
So you can just watch the messages come into your email, like the regular Drupal.org mailing list.
So this is messages of nodes as people are creating them on the site, or it's actually like people go to the site and type in an email message to get sent out, or they can come
in?
They
will be both. They will be nodes on the site. They'll be represented as nodes on the site. In email, they'll be represented as regular email messages. So what you see in your email has been a mirror to what you see on the web.
So it's an archive. Basically, what's online is an archive of the messages that have been sent out.
Correct.
Cool. Very neat. Yeah, I haven't really done a group site yet, but definitely everyone I know who's used it is very excited about it. So cool stuff.
Yeah, the contributed modules for groups are quite interesting. I didn't build most of them, but other people have. So every group can have its own e-commerce store. Every group can have its own really pull up the directory and tell everybody what every each group can have, because I forget sometimes, but there's like a universe. Each group can have its own forum.
That's interesting. Group forums. Wow. So it's it could be a, is it a permissioned forum? Meaning it's a like a they could conceivably have a private forum?
Yes, it's permissioned in the same way that the group is. So if you have a public group, it's public, and if it's private group, it's a private forum. The mechanism to establish that access control is called the Node Access API. And that's an API in Drupal that lets you protect nodes and who can see them. And, there are a few Node Access modules out there. So for people who want to have private content within their public site, Organic Groups is an option. There are others like Node Privacy by Role and another one that does privacy based on paths, Drupal paths, which are part of the URL. There are a few different ways to do access control, and Organic Groups is one of them. So the other contributed modules that I was starting to talk about, there's integration between Civi CRM groups and Organic Groups for people who enjoy the Civi CRM module. There's another module that makes it mandatory for all of your registrars to be part of one organic group on your site. And that might be an easy way to communicate with everyone on your site. And I already told everyone about the email list integration.
Cool stuff. Very cool. Are there other things that you're working on these days?
I'm doing some sites for clients that have interesting components. One of them that I hope to release some code soon, but I did some integration between the DocuWiki application and Drupal. DocuWiki is one of the main wiki applications. People have mostly heard of MediaWiki, which is the application that Wikipedia uses to run their awesome website. DocuWiki is a different one, but it is also quite powerful, also a PHP wiki application. And I did integration on the user level so that a user in Drupal is the same user in DocuWiki, and the roles carry over as well. So if you're an administrator in Drupal, you're also an administrator on your DocuWiki site. So the state of wikis in Drupal is lousy, I would say. But this is really a nice solution for people who want Wiki and want Drupal. They can install DocuWiki and use this glue to put them together. There probably is some glue for MediaWiki and Drupal also. I haven't come across that code yet, but people who want to integrate Wiki might want to look into that avenue also.
Cool. So Moshe, what are your favorite modules out there, and what are you finding to be cool stuff, cool Drupal stuff?
There are a few cool modules that that do very small things that perhaps aren't well known by the Lullabot podcast listeners. So I just want to highlight them a little bit. These are modules that other people have written, and I think they're pretty neat. So the first one's called Auto Time Zone. Auto Time Zone tries to solve one particular problem that's tiny, but it matters to a lot of sites. Drupal expects that any registered user goes to his profile page and sets his current time zone in his profile, and that time zone is in offset from GMT, and it looks a little bit scary, and I bet maybe 5% of Drupal users ever do that.
Right.
And by not doing that, they often are seeing the site in some other time zone. And that means that the timestamps are off on all the posts and events and things like that. It's not a huge deal, but it's not the way we intend the software to be used. So this person who wrote Auto Time Zone did a clever hack, which is that he looks at the computer of the he looks at the person's browser and uses JavaScript to determine the local time on that person's computer and then sends that information up to Drupal. And so Drupal can automatically learn the time zone of the browser, and the browser, the user has not had to do anything other than request a page. So this is a great solution because it requires no effort on the part of your users, and they're getting the customized time zone experience. So I'm happy that this guy wrote such a module.
That's very cool because, yeah, because the user interface on asking someone to enter in their time zone is always a hassle. And, you know, the best you can do is sort of offset from GMT, which is crazy stuff. I mean, people don't know whether they're in daylight savings time or not, or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. And then just time zones in general are crazy. It's like everyone I know who's ever had to do any programming and deal with time stuff, Aaron Welch, who did the event module originally, Chad Phillips, who did a whole lot of work with the event repeat and stuff like that. I mean, they just get like caught in this loop of just trying to figure out the time zone stuff and make it work right. It's really, really one of the most confusing things for human brains. I don't know why. It's really great that this little module would sort of make it easier to solve that problem. So that's a great one. That's one of those you should just install this on every site kind of modules, you know.
Yes, I think so. The help edit module is kind of an interesting one. Drupal has this really interesting feature and has had it for a while to show context sensitive help on any given page that you want. So if you have a page on your site that you wonder if people don't understand exactly what's going on there, or they don't know how to fill out the form that appears there, or they are confused by the organization of information there, you can drop help text right onto that page using the help edit module. And the help appears in Drupal in a standardized way, in a standardized place. So your site visitors can get very used to how to get help on your site. And so help edit takes advantage of the help hook, which is the Drupal developer mechanism for showing context-sensitive help. So I think that one's probably underappreciated and underused.
Yeah, I didn't even know that existed. I almost wrote that module all over again. Maybe it hasn't been branched for. I think I did come across it. It's like on this 4.6 branch, but not in CVS or something weird like that. So.
Oh really?
A matter of tracking it down. I hope it does exist for 4.7, or that someone will port it over. Because that's a great thing. I mean, again, for usability of sites. You know, just to be able to put a little bit of text explaining what's going on that page is a great thing.
Yeah, I agree, Jeff.
I mean, especially for pages like taxonomy lists and stuff like that, you know, where Drupal just sort of spits out a list, and if you want to explain what that list is in one way or another, this is the way to do it.
Exactly. I think taxonomy list is the perfect example. And I bet views module now has all kinds of lists that need explaining. So that might be a good pairing, views and help edit.
Yeah, yeah. I think views may have its own way to spit out some help text, but
does it? You've caught me.
But either way,
you've caught me talking about views without actually having to use it.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. It's got lots and lots of options. So, what else? What else you got for us?
Okay, so one more module I want to give a shout out for is the Weight module, WEIGHT, and your host Jeff Robbins wrote Weight, and it's solves another small problem, but it's not so small to your clients. They want to control the order in which posts appear on a page, for example, on the homepage or a taxonomy listing page. And the weight module allows you to control the order. By default, Drupal sorts everything in reverse chronological order, which is a reasonable default, but it doesn't always work the way you want. And you have to play with timestamps in order to reorder things. So the weight module is a very clever hack to the queries that show lists of nodes in Drupal and allows you to reorder them in whatever arbitrary order you need. So I encourage people, if they need that kind of control on their homepage of exactly what order things appear in, to use the weight module.
Oh, now that you've mentioned it, I'll have to figure out whether or not it's working with 4.7. It was working as of a few weeks ago, and then it seems to have just stopped working with one of the latest CVS updates. So I have to go in there and figure it out. It really is a bit of a hack. It uses the sticky column, which is really supposed to be just a binary field, right? I mean, it's supposed to be either a node is sticky or it's not, but it is the first criteria for how nodes are sorted. And it happens to be stored in the database in a way that it's just an integer, so you can make it any number. And so I've expanded it to make it a wider range of numbers that you can then have some user input for sorting things by their stickiness. But it may be that Drupal core has outsmarted the weight module, and it's
no,
tricky.
I don't think so, Jeff. I think it's going to continue working.
We'll see. And, I have to get in there. I'm always sort of afraid that something will break the weight module, because it seems sort of underhanded in its
well,
in its cleverness.
It's a hack in the best sense of the word hack.
Well, yes.
So, you know, I really support tiny hacks that let you do what you want to do, are a good thing. I'm not really a purist. There are purist developers in our community, and they serve a great role, but I'm really not one of them. So small hacks that let you do what you're trying to do with your site are fine by me.
Yeah, and it doesn't actually hack anything. It just sort of uses things. It takes advantage of the way that things are already set out. So, well, Moshe, well, thanks for talking with us. This was really great. There's so much interesting stuff in this. We'll have to just put it up in its entirety and call it a podcast.
All right. Great, Jeff. Yeah. I appreciated talking to you and talking to everyone out there. So, thanks for having me.
Take care, Moshe.
All right. Bye-bye.